Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, diving into another topic we just hear so much about in the clinic, in questions on Instagram, all over the place, is that crunchiness, that Rice Krispie cracking, popping in the knees, something we also know as crepitus. So what is this cracking and popping that we hear?
So crepitus, as we know it, is literally just noise in the joint, right? Yeah. So we know that we've talked about other areas, and you can present with noise in other areas. We're going to keep it specific to the knees because that's where a lot of people, when they're doing squats, lunges, they're at the gym, or they're hiking or doing, you know, or you bend down and grab something and your knees are just like Rice Krispies as you're going down. Yeah. There's a lot of fear that comes with it. So we want to be able to kind of chat through what is happening at that knee joint, particularly because it's scary sometimes when you look on Google and just try to look it up, right?
I think what you had said, you looked up on Google and it said something like, what is crepitus or the cracking noise, and it's fractures in the bone or something like that was the languaging they use. I'm like, one, that's crazy because such a few percentage of people experiencing something like that, I would actually be worried about a fracture for. So I think that's so misleading. And like you said, fear driven. And I think a lot of the language we use is fear driven, or when someone's knee makes a certain noise like that, we initially are like, was that your knee that made that noise? Yeah. And we make it seem like a bad thing, where I have knees that make noise. And now I'm learning a much different way to approach that.
Exactly. And that's the main thing that we want to say. Like, overall, in total, we know that the noise that you hear in your knee is not directly correlated with meaning that you have a knee pathology or a diagnosis associated with that.
Tissue damage or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. It just means that you have what we've coined this noise to be, which is crepitus. We want to change the way that we kind of think about that super scary anatomy term. And it's just a term. Mm-hmm. It's just like your elbow, your kneecap. It's just what we've labeled it as.
It literally just means noise. So yeah, it's like if you read that on a doctor's note or something, crepitus of the knee. Oh, they have crepitus of the knee. Like, whatever. It just means your knee makes noise. Something that we need to just maybe be a little more aware of, or when does that come up, or what kind of positioning am I in? And what might be causing that? Or do we know what causes the snapping and the popping?
You know, I don't think, out of all the studies and stuff, again, we can't correlate it to mean anything, which means that we can't actually look for a cause.
So we can't say it's, oh, that is just the release of gas, and it's the release of gas within the joint, or oh, that's the meniscus sliding in this way or that way, or oh, that's this tendon, or
the patella tracking.
Yeah, the patellofemoral joint, and that's just that underneath the patellofemoral joint. All areas that could possibly result in noise, but again, not necessarily correlating to any one of those specifically.
Exactly. And so I think hopefully that alone helps to take some pressure off of it. Yeah. And one of the studies was showing too, you know, it's just in general, when people start to hear this noise or other friends hear it, like you said, people get alarmed by hearing that noise, right? Yeah. And so then that becomes your perception of someone said, oh my gosh, what is wrong? And it creates this cascade of fear. Now I don't want to do that movement, right? And so I'm going to push my hips as far back as possible so I don't ever have my knees go forward over my toes, and I avoid it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we're just going to become tighter in areas, compensations happen, and we're avoiding movements we should naturally be going into.
And if that happens, whether we have injury or not, you know, I know a lot of people who did have injury and had very crunchy knees, but just learn to have that confidence again, train the knee in different situations, and train their mind differently around when the knee makes that noise. It's not bad. It's just an awareness I get to have now because of the journey my knees or my joints have had up to this point.
Yeah, exactly. And so if we can start to kind of change our perception, change the way we think about it, then we get to really continue to explore and strengthen the body.
One thing I do like to say, because, you know, I have noises in my knees and I also have had meniscal issues. And so something that's kind of a telltale giveaway, like, you might want to have this checked out a little more, is if along with when you get any noises, you have actual locking of the joint, like, oh, I heard a pop and then I couldn't fully straighten my knee out.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that'll happen to me, and I know how to kind of work with my knee right now and give it some TLC and get it working for me. But that's one thing to, if you get any locking of the actual joint itself, maybe get that checked out and get with somebody.
What has been working for you? And again, this is a personal, so yeah. What helps Dom may not help you, but I'm just curious, what are the things that when you do feel like that locking sensation kind of helps you?
Oh, so specifically for me, I know it likely has to do with my medial meniscus. And I know a lot of people that have similar compensations to me.
What is medial meniscus?
Medial meniscus, meaning the inside of the knee, we've got this cushion or this padding that kind of acts as really the padding or the shock absorption of the knees.
And we've done a podcast on, and you guys can listen to that meniscus episode to understand more about the meniscus specifically.
Absolutely. And so I was just really rough on the inside of my knee padding, basically, when I worked out, when I did stuff, and I put a lot of undue stress in that area. So I did have a surgery on my meniscus in my right knee, and now sometimes when I twist awkwardly with my knee in not a great position, when I'm in full flexion, I'll try to straighten my knee out and it won't fully straighten out. For me, when I bend my knee again and kind of pull my knee to my butt, this is a strategy I've heard some PTs give people called like clearing the joint. Mm-hmm. And then if that helps you to be able to get that range again in extension, and for me, then I can fully straighten my leg after that. That again points to, oh, it's probably something meniscal. Mm-hmm. Because when you put your joint at a very packed position, you know, closed packed position, which is when I pull it tight to my butt, kind of helps that meniscus clear or be pulled back into where it should be.
Really some space from that area.
So that's tough to picture, but that's kind of what I know works for me, is to just fully pull my knee into flexion and then try to straighten it out again.
And does that scare you to continue to work through exercises? Are you still doing squats, single leg stuff? What are you doing?
To be honest, I'll say that it has scared me to go into stuff that is unexpected, being like competition or stuff, even playing spike ball. We were playing spike ball and I was trying to make cuts and I would just feel my knee be a little bit unsure. And I think it's that unsureness and that scare, like becoming scared and fearful of, ooh, I'm going to injure it more, or it's going to lock.
Yeah.
Or if I try to play anything in the sand now, or run or jump in the sand, that's really tough for me. So what I like doing now is training in controlled enough environments that my knee is comfortable with, which right now is doing a lot of single leg training. Maybe doing training on different surfaces, squishier things like grass or even foam pads or whatever, and doing that on a single leg. I love doing stuff like that. Or just different variations of squats into my knees. I think it's very important to load the knees. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
My knees are my weak point, but that doesn't mean I get to avoid them. Also training the mobility in my ankles and my hips.
Yep.
Super important for me, because then I know that I'm not going to compensate because of, you know, having deficiencies in my ankle and my hip mobility. So growing my functional ankle hip mobility. That, in a nutshell, is kind of my picture of how I've been trying to take care of what's going on in my knees.
And I think that's hugely important and good for people to hear again repeatedly, because we have talked about knee pain. I think it was episode 10, where we specifically talked about patellofemoral pain syndrome, right? And this is, think of pain at the front of the knee, runner's knee, jumper's knee. This is a lot of what is coined of anterior or front of the knee pain.
And I think a lot of people get crepitus or this noise with that as well.
Exactly. And so that's where I was going to say, that's when then we can say, okay, if you're getting noise associated with pain, then we do start to, especially in the knee, we do start to look at things like patellofemoral syndrome. And again, I would recommend going and listening to episode 10, because we dive into a little bit more specifics of what that is. But we do again mention, okay, if the knee is taking on all the brunt, what's happening around that area? And that's what we always want to guide toward, right? Is if this is my pain point, what is happening above and below the area to ensure that I'm not putting undue stress and tension over time, over and over and over at that knee. So like Dom said, he works on his hips. He works on his ankles. And I myself have had moments of this feeling of patellofemoral pain. And this can be like, think your kneecap here right in the front. It could be right underneath. So a lot of people think of chondromalacia, knee tracking issues where they want to put kinesio tape and kind of fix it in a certain direction. Maybe it's pain more on the inside of the kneecap, the outside of the kneecap, but overall it's right over that general front of the knee area, right? That's what we're kind of talking about. And if you hear that crunching kind of associated with that, sure, you know, I'm not going to say that tracking of the kneecap isn't going on, but I also want to extend, you know, well, what is happening to create that tracking issue, right? Is it a loss of control from the foot? Is it a loss of mobility from the ankle, a loss of hip mobility, a loss of strength at the hip? Like, this all plays a role.
Totally. And I think that's where I really appreciate how kind of your mobility method breaks things down. A lot of people get that knee pain and they think, oh, I need to do stuff right at the knee. I need to work on my knee range of motion, which is important if you can get full flexion and full extension at the knee and know exactly how your strength is at the knee as well. But exploring the hip and exploring the ankle is so important, and understanding if you might be at a lack of internal rotation at the hip or a lack of dorsiflexion at the ankle, and how important that can be to what you do all the way through the knee. I know for me it was super important, clearly, how I developed and the pressures I put on my knee throughout football and how I lifted in college. And now, having done more of my self-work and the self-assessment, you know, we always want people to assess and not guess.
Yes.
And I finally started to assess myself and notice the difference now, even when I lift and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, just being able to understand those mobility restrictions, what you need to attack, rather than just like, my hip feels tight. Okay, but where? And yeah, in what motion? And why? And how can we start to address that as a whole? You know, it's so, so important. And Dom and I, we do it, we preach it, because we believe in it. And we've seen people have massive changes and impact. Now I want to talk just a little bit into the strength aspect of the knee as well. Because like I said, like, I've had moments of I'm running or I'm jumping, mm-hmm, and I've felt that a little bit right in the front of my knee, of a moment of sharp pain. And though I don't have crepitus or noise with it, it jolts me back a little bit. Like, oh, should I continue this HIIT workout? Should I continue running? And what I have found personally for me is when I take, one, the time to do a warm-up.
Absolutely.
So what are, and you know, warm-ups, although general, I think when you continue to learn your body, so that's why we do like the muscle activations and the optimal body stuff, mm-hmm, like that, is when you start to find what is not firing well, that then in turn becomes your activation. So for me, if my glute med, the side of my hip, is a little bit weaker, then I know I can do some clam holds, I can do some abduction, you know, putting my legs away from my body to kind of warm that up. I know that I can place pressures on my quad if I'm going to start running. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do some modified sissy squats, and we can, you know, kind of show you guys what these look like on YouTube as well if you look. But I think understanding your restrictions in terms of your strength deficits, mm-hmm, really helps to build in a proper warm up, so that when you do the movements, you're not as scared and you are more like when I know that I do that and then I continue to work through, the pain automatically goes away and I feel, and I can complete the workout or the run or whatever I'm doing. Like, I don't have to, I'm not held back from it.
Yeah. Knowing your deficits is just that first step. And then it's again, how you apply them and how you train, you know, to quote, be able to manage those deficits or whatever, especially functionally, that's the most important. And I love how you bring up warm up, because the warm up again is going to be so specific to the individual based, yeah, on the things that you start to notice. That's like, oh, when I do this, it really gets my hip activating in a great way. My pain's calmed down. I feel more balanced. Do that. Continue doing those.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. The ones that you start to feel and ping with, like, oh, if I did these five things before every workout, I'd feel great. Great. Keep doing those. The warm up sometimes for me can be as simple as if we're doing a HIIT workout and I'm not feeling great and it's like a 4x4, meaning we're doing four rounds of four different exercises. The first round, I do some pretty easy variations. I take my time. I make sure to, you know, focus on the quality of the movement so that I make sure that I'm not putting any of my joints at compromising positions, especially if there's jumping involved and I'm, yeah, just not ready to get into it. And then the last three rounds, usually I'm doing more advanced variations of those exercises and getting more into the workout and actually feeling safe doing all the movements.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like you said, it's individual for the person. Like, for our friend Danielle, who I work out with a lot, for her specifically, because she has felt very quad dominant, meaning her quads are, if she does a squat or if she does movement patterns, her quads usually feel more than her glutes. Mm-hmm. And so for her, she's found that doing a lot of TheraBand exercises where she's doing clams or side steps or stuff like that really help. And she's experienced a lot of lateral knee pain, IT band syndrome stuff, which we've done a podcast as well in episode 17. But we've done a podcast on all these things. But, you know, understanding what works for her. And honestly, those are not the movements that necessarily make me feel the best. It, usually, if I get in some general mobility, stretch the glutes as well as activate the glutes, and then get into my quads, for me, that feels best for me to then be able to do the workout. So it's exactly like you said, individual to the person. And you really find that through continued movement and continued exploration. Like Dom said, assess, don't guess. And the more that you learn your body, which is what we try to do in every single everything we put out, but the more that you start to find these cues that are like, oh, that feels weak. Oh, that feels tight. Like the more that you start to explore, the better that you're going to feel overall.
So kind of bringing it back around to the knee and the crepitus. I mean, I think what we really wanted to do was dispel some of the fears.
Yeah.
The noises are okay. Explore the body overall. What's the hip doing? What's the ankle doing? Where's my strength at throughout the knee, throughout the hip? And how can I address some of those issues? But also, don't be afraid of loading back into the knee. Don't be afraid of getting back into those squats, those quad dominant things. Trust me, when my knees feel the best is when I'm doing some of the sissy type variations that I'm at that are good for my body right now. So loading into those quads and those knees, super important. Don't be afraid of the crepitus and keep on exploring.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.